Hello, my name is Aaron Sparks and welcome to 42 Foot, a circus podcast.
I kind of feel like I haven't trained enough lately. I've been kind of all there and everywhere. And I've moved outside of London now as well, as I'm living in Hartford. So I find that if I can't fit it around teaching, I don't train. So I'll have to do training. I'll do like a stretch session at home instead. So yeah. But now when I come into London, I try and just sort of pack the day out because it's quite expensive to come in. So to make the most of it, just at home. If I am at home for the day working, I'll be on the computer or go for a run. Or stretch at home.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes neither. Or, you know, it's like when you sit down at a computer and you just don't get off it. Generally, I try to get, you know, I usually try to do minimum 3 days. So, and in a day, I'll do like usually a minimum 2 hour session, 6 hours a week, minimum. But then I'm also training on the horse a lot as well. So, I'm getting riding lessons and I'm training a new vaulting horse at the moment. So, that involves a bit, I guess that kind of counts towards training as well. On my days off, I'm down at the stables. I was an equestrian vaulter, gymnastics on horseback, and I did that from the age of 12 in Scotland. I was part of the Scottish team, and back then the Scottish team and the English team competed against each other, and who won got the British team. So, and we were the better team, so we, for all the time that we were there, we were the we were the better team. So we were a British team for about sort of 4 years, I think, 5 years, all the way through my teenage years. And then at the time, you had to leave the team when you're 18. So I left the team when I was 18, and you can go off and be individual. Now they don't have that rule anymore, so you can do it as long as you like. But I left at 18 and then wanted to kind of do something with it, but didn't know what. So I went travelling for a year and then looked around, and my dad actually sent me off to a careers advisor, I think because he was just getting fed up. And the careers advisor after 2 weeks got fed up with me and said, just run off to the circus. And I was like, oh, that sounds great. So, yeah. I mean, originally I did want to be a stunt double because I wanted to work with horses that way. I just wanted to be a stunt trick rider. And they were saying, like, it's quite good for you to go off and do, like, stage school or something like that. And get your equity and do things like that. So I was kind of looking at something physical, and I thought circus school would be a good place to go and get strong and train and do some physical training that way. And then applied here at Circus Base, got into it, and yeah, became an aerialist and loved it because I specifically wanted to be an aerialist to get strength. And yeah, now when I graduated, I started doing aerial more, but now I'm more back into the horses. So yeah, I love it. It in a very different way.
So your careers advisor told you to run away with the circus?
Yes, he did. My dad wasn't very happy. better than my careers advisor at high school, who told me I should be a pilot. And then I said I didn't want to be in charge of that many people's lives, so I should be air traffic control. And I was like, didn't really get the point. So then they were like, RAF pilot. And I think my dad was quite chuffed with that one. I was like, would like to do that one day, but maybe not right now. But yeah, no. When you were younger, I always knew there was something that I wanted to do that was normal. And looking back, I'm doing it, so it's great. I guess you could describe myself as a circus performer or just a performer, but I do dabble in a few different things. So yeah, I was like, now I can go, Dad, that was it, that's what I was meaning. I think you'd prefer to be me to be a historian or something, or an architect. I remember going to a circus when I was younger. One came up to Jebra, and I went there, like a classic kind of Zippo's, Billy Smart's type one. And it never really was a big part of my life at all, up until the age of 18. I remember I was obsessed with clowns when I was a kid. Weirdly, no one is, but I was. I had clown everything. But other than that, I hadn't had anything to do with circus at all. I hadn't even really seen a contemporary circus show for a start. I'd heard of Cirque du Soleil. And so coming here was my first like glimpse of it. And actually on my audition here, I was a bit like, right, that's not going to happen. Because when I came here, there was just so many people who'd done circus already. I was like, okay. So when I got in, I was a bit like, it was quite surprising. I did feel like I was starting from square one, but yeah, I don't know. I didn't really have any like prior kind of knowledge of what I was getting myself in for. And anything I did have, it was just like what the classic person has of a circus performer, is just like, oh, yeah, nice, swing through the air, or a clown, on an elephant, which obviously not existing anymore. I did a show with a friend's company, and it was two horses, and we do performing tricks on horses, but outside in, so we do open air shows, like town festivals, big agricultural shows, and things like where they have big grass space and go and do that. Not connected to the circus at all, so people didn't have a problem with it. We went and did 1 week in Zippo's to cover another act, and it just opened my eyes to how people view animals in circus, and I was just like mind blown. I couldn't believe it. And we have our two horses that we use are two overweight Highland ponies. And they are enormous, like they're pretty fat as well, and they just spend their life eating all day. And I got asked on a couple of occasions whether I'm starving my horse to death. One person actually said it to me while my horse standing next to me had a mouthful of hay, and I was a bit like, okay. And we had an animal welfare officer come into our tent in the middle of the night to check the horses. Like, they, you know, they said they had a right to be there. They hadn't organised it. They just walked in because I'm a welfare animal, so I'm coming in to check the health of these horses. And to be accused of, like, suddenly be put in a position where you're accused of, like, abusing your animal, that it was crazy, you know. And I totally understand and appreciate what people's perception of using an animal for entertainment it is. But I don't see it as any different than using an animal for sport. And to an extent, having an animal as a pet. Because I think it's particularly when the relationship I have with the horse I work with is like almost closer than I have with my trapeze partner. You know, it's like that, you work together. And because he can't talk back, I have to trust him, he has to trust me, and we're in there. And he's a bigger diva than I am, you know, he's such a big performer. So I have to go out there and check, and like anything that goes wrong, we're in charge of the training of them. So we have our way of training them. And we in our show, we show how we train them to the audience. So we're training, and it's all positive reinforcement. Whereas old habits of training animals with negative reinforcement, like taking away their food, so they only get the food when they perform, using whips, using sticks. There's a difficulty nowadays that whips are still in use, but they're used as prodding devices. So we use a long whip to tap the bum so they know where to lift and things like that. That can be taken differently. And also I think people don't know how to train animals, so they don't know how it goes. So what they see, they kind of go, is that cruel? They don't know. They just assume it's cruel. So, I mean, I get in circuses in the past, it is abuse, but I went to see a load of horses that were being sold off for, I think it was a Great British Circus. It was a pretty dire show. It was pretty, very classically traditional, and they were having to get rid of all the animals, and they had big cats in it, and this was probably about sort of 6 years ago, and the guy was sending all his big cats back to his brother in Bulgaria, where there was probably going to another circus there, to be fair, because he could still do it there. And the guy was heartbroken because they were his babies. But watching that show, I was a bit like, it seemed a bit odd because they were wild animals, and it's really, we have a perception of wild animals, whereas horses are domesticated, it's okay, supposedly, but people do have a big problem with it. I watch sport, like horse racing, and I go, I can't watch the Grand National, I can't watch things like that, you know, I watch eventing, I've got friends who are eventers, and I know, I appreciate what they do, but I see so many horses die every year doing what they do. My friend lost a horse, you know, eventing it. I've never lost a horse in performance in my life. It barely got caught on its leg, you know, and they are treated like absolute royalty. So there are people who abuse it, but I think to an extent, I now work in, and they have different techniques, and a lot of it I kind of agree with, some of it I don't agree with, and you have that thing, and it's kind of why I don't like working in the movie industry as well, because they say that they're looked after, they're not. So it's happening all around it. And I see on a daily basis people just abusing their pets, you know, but they don't think they are. I don't have a dog. I'm the biggest dog person in the world, but I don't own a dog because I couldn't bear to leave it at home all day on its own. I don't like that. I don't like the breeding of, like, pug dogs. I think it's wrong. Therefore, then when I'm accused of kind of hurting my horse, I'm a bit like, but it's I feel it as ignorance rather than anything else, because they don't know. Not as much as I used to, at all. I used to be afraid to go high, and now I find it a bit of a thrill. I really get a thrill, and I've actually had quite a lot of high ones in the last couple of years, including I hung off the Orbit last October, which was 114 metres, and that, well, I was a bit like, okay, that's going to be quite scary. We had safety, obviously, but even then, there's been quite a few accidents in the last couple of years, and it's always rigging. So at the end of the day, you just have to kind of go, oh, rigging's fine, go for it. And when I was out doing it, I loved every second of it. And now I think living in London as well, you do a lot of cabaret, you're spending your time like on the floor. So when you do get to go high, you love it. And I'm quite realistic about what tricks I do. I don't really feel the need to impress fellow peers anymore. So generally the audience I work with, like, they're going to be impressed with just hanging off a hand, you know. So I don't feel like I need to push myself to do crazy tricks that are going to go wrong. So I always make sure that every single show I have to enjoy it. If I'm not enjoying it, then I should be doing it. So, and I did a tour at the beginning of this year, and it was an arena tour, and I had my own rigger, and I had my own winch, which you never ever get. It was amazing. And I was like, right, this is going to be brilliant. I basically only had 2 minutes worth of time to do it and act together. And they were like, oh, let's have you about like sort of 5 meters. I'm like going, nah, let's go up. And like, I'm asking to go higher. About 5 years ago, I'd be like, no, I don't know. And I don't know whether that's just getting older, getting more experienced, but I love it now. I like going higher, the higher the better. I think a lot of the time when you first start as a performer, you're just, especially when you work in kind of like one-off gigs and jobs and things like that, you're just always a bit tense, and you're a bit like, oh, got to do the best job ever. Got to impress every person, and, you know, always be the best thing, but it makes you a bit on edge, and therefore, now you go out, you're like, oh, well, it's fine, it's great, go and relax, do the show, know what I'm doing, so it's okay. I like to do fun, extreme sports, like, getting around the back of a horse, sitting over there, but I don't want to die, and I think that there's a lot of extreme sports now that, where actually genuinely people don't care about dying. I don't think a public audience want to watch someone die anymore. I really, really don't think they want to see that. And I think they have seen it in the last couple of years, and I think it's been quite traumatic. Therefore, I don't know if there's really like a ground for it. It's like to go and watch a high wire act and actually like, oh my gosh, if he goes, he goes. You know, I wouldn't want to watch that. But more for the fact that I'm an aerialist, and for the feeling, I don't know if you woke up in the middle of the night and you have that falling thing. That's the falling thing. I get that a little bit recurring, because I like being at heights. It's a falling bit I don't really want to do. So I don't know. But saying that, I am fascinated by the mentality of someone like that. I'd quite like to like interview them, because I see myself as quite brave, but compared to that, that's just another level. That's a different type of thing. And they're the kind of like real kind of old school. That's what circus used to be really about. You know, you're actually, you're killing it every day, you know. So I don't know. But I don't really get to see that kind of things anymore, unless it's a risky. Horse-wise, it's a bit more different. There are a bit more common accidents, because it's a bit more unpredictable. Whereas aerial is always super predictable. I think there's never a reason to have an accident, because everything's so well rehearsed. And if you're over height where you should have safety, then you have safety. And therefore, it's just a common occurrence of a rigging malfunction. But yeah, an actual high wire act, yeah, I don't think I'd enjoy watching that. I don't think these days, I think circus has got big enough, sort of contemporary circus anyway, has got big enough that people kind of go, they expect, when they go to a circus show these days, they expect it all to be completely safe, and everything's doing that. And even from my own experience, when I've been in a show, even in a cabaret, and you've been spinning around, and your legs, you're really close to someone, and they put the tables really close to the stage, and you're like, oh God. And you're like, your legs spinning around, you see coming towards someone's face, like, they'll move out of the way.
I'm sure they'll move out of the way. Oh, they're not going to move out of the way. And you bend your leg and it's just like, oh, they trust me so much not to fall on their face. Or like in the restaurant one where you're on the tabletop and people got their glasses and they're like, I can put glasses. She can see with their glasses. No, I can't. I really can't. I can smash that in your face and you don't know. They're just so trusting of you because you're their entertainer. And yeah, they just don't see you as, I think they, I don't know, maybe they just, when they see you work and perform, they're like, wow, that's amazing, or another level. No, not always. And I just, yeah, you know, generally, obviously it's always rare for something to happen, but I don't know. I just don't think people want to see that happen. I've taken that tray of wine glasses before with my silks, and the worst thing that happened is stained my silks, and I was more annoyed about that. And generally, I've seen it coming. I think, again, horse work is a bit more, that's where you have to be really safe and you have to put up the barriers. You also have to be, like, ridiculously simplified your rules about, like, you have to be so clear about what can and cannot be. Like, so when we do a show, some of the shows we go to, we always ask for really, really strict arena barriers. And you go to some shows and if you've got a couple of posts with some, flags around the edge, and you're just like, we trust our horses, they're amazing, but it's a big horse, it could dive off, you know. And they, well, at these shows, you know, you have these, they have so much trusting, and they have the, have you ever seen the big Clydesdale horses with the back, the beer barrels on the back? My friend had an extra Persia on, and it came for free from a guy who had six of them, and it was amazing, and think that. And one of them got spooked and the whole thing charged. And Craig got out of the way, got into a wheelchair, didn't. And it killed the guy. And obviously the guy then just gave up and couldn't do anymore. But this was just a nice family day where everything's comfortable and like that. They just don't think what can go wrong. And yeah, and then of course then it's suing and blah, blah, blah. And this should never happen, blah, blah, blah. You know, and it's crazy. And I think, like, look at all the accidents that's happened in, like, Barnum in America and Cirque du Soleil. It's like there has to be a reason why it's gone wrong. Whereas back in the day, it wouldn't have been like that anymore. So, yeah. Probably comes down to personal things. I think when I was younger, when I first started out, I really struggled. And I think that comes down to personal confidence. I think you just have to go for it. And it's not like I didn't go for it, but I just think I was so fearful and so worried that I didn't really hold myself back, but at the same time, everything was a struggle. So I think if I could go back and kind of go, just put everything out there and just kind of like be a bit more confident, no matter how much you think you're crap, you know, just go and do that. I don't think I've ever regretted not going for a certain show or anything like that. There was one show I was going out for in America, and they didn't take me at the time because they didn't have a space, but I think if I'd been cheap enough, they would have. And I think I would have had a very different life if I'd gone there and done that kind of like long contract type thing, and where I actually came back to the UK and started gigging a little bit. So that, not necessarily a regret, but that would have been like a bit of a turning point. It would have gone off a different fork. So yeah, and mistakes. I've only ever made one mistake on stage that could have gone badly, and I saved it. And that was because I was early in music, and I was halfway through a rap on a silk drop. And I was like, oh, I'm early. I'll throw in an arm move. And then the music cue came, and I was like, oh, there we go. And then just dropped, and I was like, halfway, literally slow motion, halfway through a drop, I'm like going, you're not meant to be there. And there was a tail, so I was like, oh, I'll just take you. And I landed like quite open. But it was in a really low venue, and I was like, so I landed like my head about sort of like 2 foot off the floor, and everyone was like, whoa, it was amazing. And I'm like, yeah. And I was like, it was one of the worst amateur mistakes you could make. And I had to like come off and kind of phone my friend going like, I just did this and I rap. Like, never again. Like, never ever pause halfway through a rap. It's just, but I'd been an aerialist for about 9 years at that point. I was experienced. You know, I was a bit like, it can happen to anyone. So, yeah. I'm still a circus performer, basically. 10 years later, I'm still doing it, which I didn't really expect. More to do with the fact that I'm stubborn, really, really stubborn, and I just didn't want to give up. And there probably could have or should have been a situation where I should have done and just kind of gone off and done. I feel like maybe the regret is like I didn't really do enough within my earlier 20s, and I feel like, oh, no, now I'm in my 30s, I'm a bit like, oh, I feel like I'm like rolling in. But I don't think there's any one. I have shows that I did that I loved that I was a part of, but I think overall, kind of just being able to be proud is quite good. I teach a lot, and I felt like for a long time I taught just because I wanted the extra money and give me a regular job. Now when I get a lot of students going on to do it professionally, and they come back to me and they kind of go, oh, thank you for what you did and the help you gave me, or I wouldn't be here because of you. Like, I brought students over from who were starting to be a dancing career or acting career, and now they're errorless. And the moments like then you kind of go, oh, that's quite, I changed someone's life, that's quite good. So they're quite kind of pride-giving moments as well. But just to still be doing it, I think, is enough for me.
Great. Well, cool. Unless there's anything else you need to say or think I've missed.
No, I hope you got everything you
need. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, really useful.
That's cool.
Excellent.
Nice one, Amy. No, you're more than welcome.